John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. And last week we started a journey through John, a new experience for me. I shared with you, I don't remember having ever preached through one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, from start to finish. Preached, you know, out of them several times. And it just seemed like the Lord wanted us to go here to John. And so we'll do that. By the way, you know, this morning in the preaching, I was exposing demonic powers and Satan. And it's amazing how much opposition comes when you do that. And I told my wife when I was done, I feel like I'd just been in a war. And it's amazing, you know, you think, well, it's just preaching God's word. But we have an enemy who hates God's word. And he really hates to be exposed. He likes to work behind the scenes, see. And he don't like it when the light shined on him or his powers. And so we're thankful that the Lord breaks through all that. And that greater is he that it is in us than he is in the world. Amen. All right, we're in John chapter 1. And we're down to verse 6. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 13 tonight. And I will start in 1 and read through for the context, but our text tonight is verses 6 through 13. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." Now, can I stop right there for a minute? If you have the right Bible, light right there is capitalized. Now, it hadn't been capitalized till now. Because that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to learn to pay attention to those kind of things. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray. Lord, again, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your leadership. We ask for you to open up our spiritual eyes. We ask for you to open up the scriptures to us once again, that we'll see the truths that you have for us here in this passage, in these verses. Thank you for the Apostle John and his writing and how you used him to put down on paper these things that you want us to know. Lord, help us to assimilate truth in our hearts and mind. And might the truth make us different. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled this simply, "The True Light." The True Light. Now, as we've read, John began his gospel by telling about the Word. And we know that that's capitalized. And he's there speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word, the living Word. And John talks about him. He tells of the Word being eternal in the fact that the Word was there in the beginning. Before anything was ever created, the Word was already there. Because the Word, Jesus Christ, is eternal. He doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an ending. He said, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." He's everything. And then he tells of the Word being the creator. The Word, Jesus Christ, is the creator By the way, showing him to be God. Now, again, the Jehovah's Witness likes to go over here and say, no, that verse 1 is wrong. It should say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No. The Bible is accurate, how it's written. And the Word was God. And now we see that Jesus Christ, the Word, is part of the creation being, which makes him equal to God. And they have a tough time with those kind of things. Now, he's a creator, thus he's God. And then John goes on to show Christ as a source of light and life for men. He, Jesus Christ, came to show the way for sinful man to come to God. And he shows himself as that way. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now we come to verses 6 through 13, and John is writing further now on the subject of the light. He's talking about the light. He's mentioned the light, now he's going to expound on this idea of the light. He's talking about the light there, and it's interesting. We'll see how he talks about the reaction of man to the light. John now looks back to the early days of Christ's ministry. And remember, Christ's ministry was about 3.5 years. The Bible says that when he was age 30, these things began to be. Up till then, we don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, other than at 12 years of age, he was in the temple disputing with the Pharisees. But now at 30 years of age, we find him embarking on this 3.5 year ministry. And John, of course, was with him from just about the very beginning, John and James being called to follow him. And John is recalling those early days. And then John the Apostle, introduces us to another John. And this John is John the Baptist. And he begins to write there about John the Baptist. So we need to understand who he's talking about. And you know, when John writes in his whole gospel, he kind of marvels, if you will, at how fast the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. 3.5 years, and they wanted him out of there. They wanted him crucified. They wanted anything to do with him. And it's going to be one of the major concerns that John deals with in his gospel. As you go through it, you can kind of pick up on that. Now, this light came to bring light to all men. But just as it was then, it still is now, that not all men would receive the light. Some would, some wouldn't. And so let's look at what John writes here about the light. Number one, he tells us about the revealer of the light. Verses 6 through 8, he talks about John the Baptist. And he begins by talking about his commission. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now notice, this is a man. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's all God, he's all man at the same time. But the man John's talking about here is a human being. He's a man who's born a natural man. Now, he had a miraculous birth because Elizabeth, we know the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias and all God did there to bring him a child in her old age, and he's to be the forerunner of Christ. So there were some miraculous things about John, but it didn't change the fact that John is a man. He's not deity. He's not God. He's a man sent from God. And this man, John is here contrasting, if you will, about with the Word that he's talked about earlier. He's talking about the eternal man, and now he's contrasting him with this man sent from God who's not an eternal man. He's a finite man. John the Baptist did not live forever, and he will not live forever humanly. He is not eternal. Do we get the picture? So this is a man. A human man, only a man. And he's, John tells us, sent from God. Now that idea of being sent is, it's the idea of being sent on a mission. He's sent for a purpose. God had John to come because he had something special for John to do. So he's sent from God. John was sent for a specific purpose and mission. And from God, this actually kind of blows your mind. It has the idea of being from beside God. Now, I don't fully understand all that. Here's John, and the Bible says he's not only sent by God, he was sent from the very side and heart of God, and he's only a man, but he's a man of high calling. He's a man with a very special mission, and he's a man with very, very serious accountability and responsibility. God called John to do something very special. Now, when John comes, he comes with the authority of Almighty God. Well, why do you say that? Because he comes proclaiming the message of Almighty God. And when someone speaks the message of Almighty God, they're speaking with the authority of Almighty God. Listen, when we declare the truth of the Scriptures to somebody, we're speaking with the authority of Almighty God. When you talk to somebody and you're telling about the Lord and you say, Jesus said ye must be born again, you're speaking with the authority of God. That's not your idea. That's not what you dreamed up. That's not your opinion. That's what God said. And when you tell people what God said, it carries the authority of Almighty God. Amen, preacher. Listen, I'm not trying to brag on me, but when a man stands behind a pulpit and preaches the Word of God, he's speaking with the authority of Almighty God. Because he's telling you not what he said, he's telling you what God said. Now, John's message wasn't from John. John didn't get up one morning, John the Baptist, and say, well, I think I'll just go out here and start proclaiming this message. He was sent from God with a message from God, and a message for people to hear about God. Now, John's name is interesting. Any Johns in here? Anybody named John? You're John? You know what your name means? No. The gift of God. Sometimes it's a gag gift. No. Seriously, John means the gift of God. And so John has been sent as a gift from God to the world. Now, he was chosen by God to be this herald for God. And then notice verse 7, his mission. Okay, what's his mission all about? Most of us know John came to prepare the way of the Lord. How many of you knew that? What's that mean? He's come to prepare the way of the Lord. By the way, we're going to talk more about John later. Right now we're talking about John so you understand his relationship to the light and what he had to do with this light that the Apostle John's talking about. He came to bear witness, John says, of this light. In verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So John is sent. Now he's going to bear witness of this light that's now come. Now think about this. When a witness is called, they're called to testify what he himself knows. If you've ever been called to be a witness, they don't want to know what you think, what you suppose. They want to know, what do you know? What facts do you have? So John has come to be a witness of what he knows. What does he know? What God showed him. That this is the light. John has the witness of the message God gave him. This is the light. And a proper witness testifies only to facts, as I said, not speculations, not opinions. And so his responsibility now, John the Baptist, is to testify to Christ's identity that he is the light that God has sent to all men. Now look at verse 8, what he says. John tells us John the Baptist was not that light. By the way, John the Baptist himself said that. And we'll see that later. He's not that light. This isn't the one that God sent to be the light of the world. No, 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 no. He is the one called that God sent to tell you about the light of the world. He's to bear witness. And he's to testify. And John says he is not that light. And the fact is, he had no light. Listen, John couldn't come, and John the Baptist could not be that light, because John the Baptist didn't have any light in himself. John the Baptist came to reflect or declare the light of Jesus Christ. In himself, he had no light. So he could not be that light. Now, I thought about this. We know John the Baptist was a son of a man. Zacharias, remember? Remember the story? So Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had this son. He's a son of a man who was sent to point men to the Son of God. I think that's pretty neat. He's a son of a man, but he's sent to point men to the Son of God. Now, let me illustrate this idea of John. He had no light. We all know about the sun and the moon, right? We know that the sun has light. But if you go out tonight and you look up in the sky, you'll probably see a moon that's lit. But the moon don't have any light. In itself, the moon does not radiate light. Well, how come I see light? Because that's the man in the moon lighting. No. Why do I see light? By the way, some people still believe it's made out of green cheese. Why do I see light when I look at the moon? Most of us took science and we know the light of the moon is not the moon's light. It's the light of the sun that the moon is now reflecting. The moon has no light in itself. Now, if you took away the moon, we'd still have light, wouldn't we? Say yes. Because the sun don't need the moon. The sun has its own light. But if we took away the sun, there's no light coming from the moon. We're in darkness. You got all that? Okay, let's bring that back to John the Baptist. John has no light. He's like the moon. All he can do is reflect and share the light that comes from the sun, Jesus Christ. If you take John the Baptist out of the picture, is there still light? But if you take Jesus out of the picture, there is no light. Men were in darkness until he came. You get all that? John wants us to understand that. John the Baptist didn't have any light. He couldn't lighten the world. All he did was come to reflect the light and point to the one who was the light. Now, his example. John the Baptist really is an example to us today. Why? Because he's doing what we're supposed to do. Jesus came into the world and the world was in darkness, right? The world is in the same darkness today it was when Jesus came. The darkness of sin. That's why they need the light of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus came in his person when John's talking about it to share his light. But since then, Jesus has gone back to heaven, hadn't he? So how are men going to get the light? Us. We are now responsible to reflect the light of Christ to a world that's in darkness. Huh? That's why it's important that we go soul winning. That's why it's important that we give out a word of witness when we can. Even if it's a little bit on the sly, you know. By the way, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Give out the gospel message. Why? Because there's a world out there in darkness, and we don't have any light to give them. In myself, I don't have any light to give anybody. But in Jesus Christ, I have His light, and I can share it with people, and that light will shine on darkness. And like we saw this morning, people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and come out of the darkness and into the glorious light. And John says, now, we can walk in the light as He is in the light, and when we do, we have fellowship one with another. So John's not the light, but he's come to reflect the light. He's come to share the light and point to the light, and that's our job. I know sometimes people get upset with me when I say this and irritated, but I got to ask you, how many people have you pointed to the light? See, that's our responsibility. We are accountable. We've been entrusted with a wonderful, wonderful truth. What is that truth? Jesus saves. When I talked to Evan this morning, now he came out of it, he's in a Roman Catholic background. And I said, well, I was raised Roman Catholic, so I pretty much know what they teach you, and we got to talking about that. And I told him, now he's 17 years old. I said, you know, Evan, I never heard the gospel. I had no idea what it meant when it said Jesus saves, you know, until I was 18 years old. I would see it on bridges. I would see it, you know, different places. Jesus saves. And I always wondered, what does He say? Huh? And I wasn't being facetious. What does He say? He saves men. He saves people. People get born again. And they pass from death unto life. And how's that happen? The light of the gospel shines into a dark heart and shows them truth. So we got to share the light. That's our responsibility. And again, we don't have any light. We just share the light of Jesus. So number one, the revealer of light is seen here. And then notice this in verses 9 through 11. This is tragic. The rejection of the light. Oh my. In verse 9, John writes this. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Christ is the true light. You know, there are a lot of false lights in the world. There are a lot of false religions. There are a lot of deceivers. There are a lot of people who say they're light and they have no light. And they lead people further into darkness. But Jesus Christ is the true light. He's the one that shows the way to life, John says. Somebody said He's a non-deceiving light. Well, if you think about it, doesn't the Bible say that Satan is a great deceiver and a liar? And over 2 Corinthians, we're even told that he is transformed into an angel of light. But see, he's not the real light. That's why we're so adamant about talking out against counterfeit religions. You know, listen, some people get upset and antsy when I mention the Catholics or the Methodists or the Presbyterians or, you know, some of these other religions. But we have to mention those because they are deceivers. They're not bringing the true light. Listen, we've got a lot of religions that are nothing more than social clubs today. You get what I said? What do you mean, social club? Well, people go there and they socialize, and they might do some good, nice social things, you know, and maybe make some food baskets or make pillows for sick people or whatever. They do all these kind of things, but there's no gospel preaching. There's no gospel sharing. There's nobody getting saved. There's nobody studying the Bible and what Jesus said and the truth of the Scriptures. So what is that? That's a social club. Huh? And they're deceiving people because people think, well, I'm in church. I go to such and such church and we have suppers and we have bingos and we have this and we have that and we have a church. Well, have you ever been saved? What? You ever been saved? Oh, we have our own religion. No kidding. I'm talking to you about what Jesus said, not about your religion. But see, deceivers, John wants us to understand the light that we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true light. He's the real light. Real light in contrast to the dim, shaded light that was conveyed in the Old Testament, sacrifices and things. Go over to Hebrews. Hold your place there and go over to Hebrews. Something interesting in Hebrews. Chapter 10. Now remember, Hebrews is a book written from a Jewish context where the writer is showing the Jews that Jesus Christ is now our high priest. That now the sacrifices and all that are gone. And we have a better high priest. And in chapter 10, verse 1, look at what he writes there. He says, "For the law, having a shadow," see that word, "of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." He's talking about the shadow that was presented in those Old Testament sacrifices. There was a shadow where the truth wasn't, the light wasn't fully revealed to them. But now in Jesus Christ, the light has been revealed to them. And so we see the shadow of that. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that, the light of that. And then he's the self-giving light. And what are you talking about there? Well, his light wasn't derived from anyone. His light is in himself. He is the light. Illustration of the sun again. Our sun don't get its light from any place else. The moon reflects light, right? But our sun gets its light from itself. It is this huge gaseous reactor thing going on there constantly creating the light. Jesus Christ don't get his light from anybody else or anything else. He is light. That defines him. And then he's a universal light. He shines to all men. And by the way, Romans says that he's written the law on the hearts of all men. That's why in Romans we learn that all men are accountable. The Bible says they are without excuse. Why is that? Because written on the heart of every man is the truth that there is something above him. That's why you find primitive societies and are always trying to worship something. But they pervert it to where they cut down a tree. This is always interesting. I think Psalms talks about this. How they'll go and cut down a tree, and they'll take that tree and they'll chop some of it up for firewood. And they'll take some of it and make furniture. And then they'll take some of that same tree and build a house. And they'll take some of that same tree and make a god and bow down to it. Same tree. Why does man do stuff like that? Why do they take a rock and worship a rock? Why do they take a fish and worship a fish? Because in their heart they know there's something above me and they want to worship something. Instead of looking for the truth, they create their own. Listen, man's been in that business for a long time. Create your own God. Isn't that what Cain did? He created his own way of worship. He wouldn't do it God's way. He created his own. And man's been at it for a long time. And he's the supreme light. The light of Jesus shines brighter than any other light has ever shined before. And his is the only light that will penetrate the darkness of this world of sin. There is no other light. No other name can do what the name of Jesus will do in delivering people from their sin. But now notice this. He's the refused light. Think about this. Look at verse 10. He was in the world. Okay, who's he? Who's he? Talk to me. Jesus, who has already been defined as the Word and the Light, right? He comes into the world. What else is he defined as? The Creator. So here's the one that created the whole world coming into the world, and the world don't even recognize him. The world knew him not. Can you imagine Jesus walking this earth that he's created? And it's rejecting him. You know, at any minute, he could have just called a halt to the whole thing. And said, forget this. They don't want to receive me? Fine. Boom. He takes his hand off of it and the whole thing just explodes. Because by him, all things consist. The audacity of the world. Here's the one who created it. He's walking among the world and the world don't even recognize him. Get your mind wrapped around that for a little while. Here he is walking among them. He's doing miracles that only God can do. And yet they refuse to acknowledge who he is. Not only did the world reject him in general, but his own people rejected him. Verse 11. He came unto his own. His own received him not. Here's the Jews who had the Old Testament. You understand that? They had the Old Testament. They read the scriptures. They read Isaiah, where they're told about the virgin will conceive and have a son. They read over in Isaiah how he's going to be the prince and the government's going to be on his shoulders and all those prophecies. They read them and they're looking for him. They read over there in Micah how he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They read over there in Zechariah how he's going to come sitting on a colt, a foal of an ass. Here he is. I read somewhere and I checked on this. I was wondering how many prophecies did Jesus fulfill? How many Old Testament prophecies did he fulfill in his coming and his crucifixion and all that? I'm told, I didn't count them, but I'm told there are 353 prophecies that he fulfilled from the Old Testament. Now you think out of 353, they would have recognized a few. They didn't. He's walking among them. His own people who know the scriptures, who know the prophecies, who know he's supposed to come in Bethlehem, who know he's supposed to be born of a virgin, who know all the scriptures about his coming. They recognize him. And not only did they not recognize him, they refused to receive him. You see, the Jews had him crucified. Do you know for centuries there was a big fight between the Jews and the Romans on who was responsible for Christ's crucifixion? How many of you knew that? Yeah, and just a few years ago, the Pope apologized. Listen, it wasn't a matter of who killed him. He says nobody really took his life. He laid it down. There's no guilt to be assigned for taking his life. He came to do that. But there is guilt in that the Jews rejected him and called for his crucifixion. Remember how he's arrested and Pilate comes and he says, I find no fault in this man. I need to set him. No, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate's wife said, Don't have any dealings with this man. I've had bad dreams about this guy. Leave him alone. And Pilate comes back and he says, now I'm supposed to release one at this time of year. I release one criminal this time of year and give him a pardon. And how about if I release this Jesus Christ? He's done nothing wrong. He said it's either him or Barabbas, a wicked, wicked man. And they said, give us Barabbas. And then he said, well, what do I do with this Jesus guy? You remember what they cried out? Crucify. Go over to Matthew 27. I want you to see what they cried out. Verse 22. You there? And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? I'm sorry. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Who's that? Who's saying that? Jews. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Look at verse 25. Amen. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And it has been. The Jews are still in darkness, and his blood is on them. The rejected one, the refused one. You know, it brought me to this. And think about this. Here they are looking for the Messiah. They're begging, we need a Messiah. Rome is oppressing us, and we're hurting, and we're saddened, and we're not what you said we're supposed to be, and blessed and all the Lord, and we need the Messiah. He needs to come and set up his kingdom. But when he comes, they reject him. He came unto his own received him not. And let me say this, it's still the same today. People reject Christ. We don't reject him as the one who's going to set up his kingdom right now, because we know that's not what he's supposed to be doing. But people today reject him as the Messiah, as the Savior. How many people have you ever talked to that would not accept Christ? How many people do we try to tell about? We knock on their door, we hand them a tract, we give a word of witness that Jesus has come and he saves sinners, and they're not interested. They're still rejecting him today. Some reject his reality. You'll run into some people who say, I don't believe Jesus existed. He's a fairy tale. Then you'll find some others who reject his deity. And let me just say this. There's a big attack on the deity of Jesus Christ today. And I've told you many times, the Jehovah's Witness does not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Nor does the Mormon believe that Jesus Christ is the God in the flesh. You say, well, they're awful nice people. Yeah, but they're preaching a damnable heresy. People today not only deny his deity and his reality, but his message. The message of salvation. Oh, we'll make our own way. How many times have I heard this? No thanks, we have our own religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about where you go when you die. Well, I hope I go to heaven. Well, God says you can know, but you can only know if you know Jesus. That's not what my church teaches. Okay, when you're in hell with all the other members of your church, then you'll wish you would listen. Right? But that's the bad news. Now look at verse 12, 13. Here we see not the rejection of the light, but the reception of the light. See, John's telling us the Jews rejected him, but there are some people who are going to accept him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. A couple of things about that, and we're done. Some are going to receive him. Some people will respond to the light. And anyone who comes to him and receives him are now going to be born into the family of God. It says they will become the sons of God or children of God. How do you become a child of somebody? You get born in their family. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again. You're born one time physically into the family of the earth and mankind, but if you want to be in the family of God, you've got to be born again into His family. Well, how do I do that? You receive Him. I told Evan this morning, you've received Christ, now you've been born into His family. You're a child of God. That's the only way to get in the family. He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Once again, in witnessing, I told a young man, you know, he didn't say in the sacraments of the church. He didn't say you become a child of God by being a good person or anything else. It's by believing on His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those who are saved, He brings this out. Are saved by the will of God, which were born not of blood. There's a lot of discussion about what does that mean, and I think he's referring to the fact they're born not of their heritage. In other words, they're not born into God's family because mom and dad were born. See, you don't inherit Christianity. Huh? Your children, if they're saved, didn't inherit your Christianity. Every person has to come to that decision on their own. Born not of blood, not inherited, not handed down generation to generation. And then he says this, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, a person just don't say, I'm going to get saved. That's not how we come. See, the Bible says, no man seeketh after God. None of us went looking for Him. He came looking for us. Not of the will of man. In other words, not of the will of flesh. In order to be saved, the person has to be drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said that in John 6:44. That my Father must draw him. The reason you got saved was the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart about your need to be saved. And by the way, you had to make a decision when the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart. You have a free will. The Holy Spirit said, hey, you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, you need to get saved. And you had to say, yes, you're right, or you had to say, no, I don't believe that for a minute, I'm not getting saved. Right? But unless the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart, you'd never even consider the matter. Born not of the flesh. And then he says this, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen, you didn't get saved because somebody wanted you to. I can't will you to be saved. Have you ever heard me say this in the invitation time? If I could get saved for you, I would. And I would, because I know the joy of salvation. But as much as I might want to see people get saved, they're not going to get saved because of my will. They have to get saved by their decision, not by the will of man. Listen, there's a lot of mom and dads who are burdened because their children are not saved. And if they could, they'd make them get saved. But they can't. See, salvation is in a moving of the Holy Spirit, a convicting of the Holy Spirit, and a person coming to Christ, making their decision. And nobody can make it for you. Again, how many times have we wished we could make it for somebody? People we agonize over, we don't want to see them die and go to hell, but they won't come to Christ. Why? They're rejecting the light. So John sent from God, and the purpose of John is to point men to the Savior, to the light that will dispel their spiritual darkness. Sadly, the ones he came to, the Jews, rejected him. And God said, if you read your Bible, you'll learn that God said, all right, the Jews have rejected you. Now you go to the Gentiles. You know, it's sad that the Jews rejected him. But in a way, we rejoice in it because now the gospel came to the Gentiles. And now all men everywhere can be saved. Not just for the Jews. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks or the Gentiles. The light. John says, hey, the light's come. Some received him, some rejected him. But anybody who will receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them believe on his name. February 22nd, 1974, I received him. I was born into his family. I came to the light. Now I'm a child of God. Nothing will ever change that. You can't unbirth somebody. Sometimes as parents, we wish we could. But you can't unbirth somebody. A birth takes place and it's a fact. The day you got saved, you got born into God's family. By the way, you may not feel saved some days, but it doesn't change the fact you are. Because salvation is not in a feeling. It's in a fact. I've accepted him and I've been born into the family of God. I'm a child of God. Nothing can change it. Well, let's bow our heads for a minute. Father, thank you for this light. Thank you for the Word who came and to be the light of the world, to point the world to salvation, to dispel the darkness that this world was steeped in without Christ. And now you've made a way. You've brought the light to us. Thank you that most of us in this room have received that light. Many of us could testify how we came to the light and we got saved and got born into God's family. And we rejoice in that. And Lord, help us to realize now our responsibility is to share that light. You didn't bring it to us just to keep to ourselves. We're to be the light of the world. We're to broadcast. We're to let our light shine before men that they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Help us to live in that responsibility, sharing the light. Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to ask you this question. How many in here tonight could say, preacher, I've come to the light. I've been saved. I'm born again. I know it. Here's my hand. I put it down. Now how many would say, preacher, I'm faithful with sharing the light. I realize my responsibility and I'm faithful to give out the light to those in darkness through gospel tracts and a word of witness and however I can. I try to give light to those still in darkness. Here's my hand. Put it down. How many would say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago. I have not been faithful. And God has convicted me tonight. I'm making a decision. I'm going to be more faithful in sharing the light. Here's my hand. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Let's stand together. Father, bless the invitation. You've spoken to hearts. Now help folks come and speak to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to come. Just come right now. God spoke to your heart. You want to do some business with him. Just come right now. He's that light. I want to share that light. I want to be faithful to take the light to a world steeped in darkness. I remember when I was in the dark,